Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of The Love Podcast with me, Pip.
And me, Sharon. In this second season, we're sharing conversations we've had with each other. We'll be covering a range of topics, talking about ways in which we can all love better as Christians and become more like Jesus.
We're really keen to connect with you even more this season. So if you don't already, please follow us at The Love Podcast on Instagram and share all your thoughts in the comments. Enjoy the episode.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to episode 4.
Episode 4.
Of season 2.
Season 2. Halfway through, guys.
We're getting through it. And today we're going to be talking about relationship idols.
Relationship idols. Mm. Not pop idol.
Nope, not with my singing voice.
Nah. Relationship idols. So, Pip, what is an idol?
So, again, you know, doing a bit of research, various kind of sources have their own either secular or spiritual definition of an idol.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Tony Evans' definition is my favourite, where he describes an idol as being any unauthorised noun, that's a person or place or thing, that you look to, that you put your trust in before God.
Mm.
And he goes on further to say idolatry is intimacy with an image. It's not necessarily bowing down to, you know, a carved statue stuck on a pole.
Mm-hmm.
An idol is anything that usurps God's rightful position and rightful role mm-hmm. in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's anything that you look to before you look to God.
Right, okay. So, money can become an 100%. Idol because you're just so obsessed with the actual, money rather than the person who provides that money, comes from God.
For sure.
So we're talking about relationship idols.
Yeah.
So do you think that, in your opinion, because mm-hmm. again, these are, you know, our opinions and we welcome yours.
Caveat. Don't at me.
Do you think that in our kind of modern day society, culture,
yeah.
relationships are idols?
100%. I think this is, again, such a deep, multi-layered subject matter.
Mm.
I do think relationships are idols within current culture. But I think if you look at the different kind of phases of the journey, idolatry is lurking behind every corner.
Yeah.
So what do I mean by that? So if you're doing your whole single journey, you're in the club, or you're at brunch, it seems to be the new thing. You're at brunch.
Don't knock it for real.
You're at brunch, and you know, you like to flaunt it because you enjoy male attention, or you know, you go to the gym to pump so that you can get female attention. There's a very real risk of that attention becoming an idol, right?
Okay.
Where you look, rather than look to God for your validation,
yeah.
you're looking to male or female attraction or male and female kind of attention
yeah.
as your source of validation.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a man unless I've got certain women yeah. fawning over me and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
So that's like in your single.
So, okay. So I'm going to pay...
Advocate.
Go here. On, I'm not going to say the D word.
Can do.
Okay, right. So, as an example,
yeah.
if I'm wearing something nice
yeah.
and you give me a compliment,
yeah.
it gives me a boost.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. But if you go out to get the boost
okay.
and you don't feel yourself unless right. you get the boost,
okay.
and then it becomes something that is a perpetual cycle in your mind,
right? Okay,
and you're looking to the boost,
yeah.
continually,
okay.
rather than getting your boost from God,
yeah. Okay, that's idolatry, cool. Okay, right? Cool.
So then you can move it forward in my mind,
yeah,
whereby a person of interest can become an idol.
Okay.
So you've left the whole brunching or clubbing or whatever, and you've settled on Jemima or Labaja. And
I need to meet these people.
They're in my head. They're in my head. Yeah, Jemima and, you know, let me be clear. There's a distinction between, like, the, you know, the butterflies in the stomach and looking forward to speaking to them, and when you do speak to them, speaking to them for ages.
Well, if you go back to the definition of it, it's where this thing or this person is taking God's place. Like,
absolutely,
they're consuming you,
consuming you from the inside out. It's just consumption, and a compliment from them changes the whole dynamic of your life.
Or
the opposite.
The opposite.
When you don't hear from them, then the world's nothing ending. Else matters.
That's
idolatry. And then, you know, taking it one step further, you get together and the relationship itself becomes an idol, you know, where all you think about is the relationship. Mm-hmm. All you think about is, you know, the two of you, and you're in this little bubble and nothing else matters and no one else matters. And it's just the two of you.
Mm.
And the fact that you're in the relationship gives you the security, gives you the validation, gives you the sense of peace that should really only come from God.
Mm.
That's where I think when you talk about sort of relationship idols
mm-hmm.
in those various categories, that's where it becomes quite prominent.
Yeah, I think. Definitely. I think like the thing that kind of stands out to me is like the pursuit of the relationship, because I think, you know, when you're single and when it seems like it's going on forever
and everyone else is
like, it can really start to feel like, you know, if you want a relationship, that is, you know, you might be fine without being in a relationship, but if a relationship is something you want, it's almost like the, you know, the grass can become so much greener and you can feel almost incomplete because you're not in a relationship.
Completely.
And so that for me is when it can be in danger of becoming an idol. And I definitely think that being in a relationship at one point in my life was an idol. Definitely. It just became such a focus. I mean, I wasn't pursuing God at the time, which was my biggest problem. And so then, you know, it became a pursuit of a relationship, and I just feel like everyone around me was settling down, and I just felt like everyone around me seemed so much happier because they were in this relationship. And I think that you have to be really, really careful, because Instagram is not real life.
No, and I was going to ask, actually, now, do you think social media encourages relationship idolatry, or do we actually need to have better discernment on believing, as you say, the grass isn't greener?
I definitely, again, I think it boils down to where you're at. I think that, you know, if you're really secure in your walk with God and ultimately you trust God, I think it's that trust in God, knowing that he has a plan for you, that he, you know, designed that plan before you were even born, before the world was even formed. He had a plan for you, and you trust in the plan and the process, then you can perhaps see things on social media and them not trigger you. But I think you know, if you've had like a recent rejection or a recent relationship has failed, or you know that you're feeling a little bit vulnerable, I mean, I'd be very surprised if all these kind of IG perfect couple goals relationships aren't triggering you.
I'll tell you something. I mean, no, we're clocking on for 9 years married, 11 years in total. And sometimes I go on Instagram and these hashtag couple girlfriends, they wind me up, you know? They wind me up, something different. So, you know, I can only imagine what someone who might feel slightly vulnerable or sensitive in that particular subject area might be thinking. And so I would encourage social media holidays every now and again, you know,
just to definitely create a bit of
distance, because that thing is crazy. And you know, just as a follow-on question to that, what do you think it is about being in a relationship that is so overly appealing that it leads to idolatry?
I think we're not meant to be alone as human beings. So by nature, human beings, they want to connect and they want to belong and they want to be loved. Like, that's a natural human thing. And so obviously, you know, we are loved by God, but there's a reason why he's put us in a community, and there's a reason why we're, you know, not just single people on islands completely by ourselves. You know, his love really does, it's tangible through people and through the love of others. So I think there's something that is within us that wants to be connected with others. And you know, as believers, God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were meant to be together as a family. So I do think that just the way humanity is set up, it is a natural part of life to perhaps want to settle down. And obviously there are people who don't want to settle down, and they're fine, and you know, they know what their kind of their path is. And I think that I definitely felt incomplete when I wasn't in a relationship, because I thought that a relationship was something else. And I didn't realize that, you know, it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of commitment, and you just have to, you have to work with that person, you have to be vulnerable, you have to be committed to the process, and allow things to be kind of like burnt off you. You know, there's a lot of changing that will happen within a relationship. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I can see that, okay, God put us together because he wanted to pull certain things out of me so that I could step into my calling. That perhaps would have been harder, might not have been impossible, because everything's possible with God. But I feel that he put me with someone like you because there were certain things that needed to be put in me through a loving relationship. And you know, I lacked confidence massively, and one thing our relationship has done, because you are such a confident person, it's you know, it's transmitted to me. And so I see being in a relationship completely differently now to what I saw it. I think I had a Disney view.
Disney has a lot to answer for, you know.
I love Disney.
Has a lot to answer for.
Of like kind of birds singing. It would just be like butterflies inside all the time. The night
climbing up the tree and all them thing there.
You know, just, and I think that Instagram and social media can feed into that, in terms of, you know, you see these, like, just, I think what springs to mind immediately is like marriage proposals of, they're just
wild,
so elaborate,
wild,
and you know, you think, oh, it's almost like that demonstration of just such like elaborate gestures is an indication of how much someone loves someone.
Yeah, and it's bonkers. Do you think like competition is at play there, like almost bragging rights?
Yeah. Like, hey, I mean, that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. And you know what? I am here for it. Because some of those things there, yeah?
It's only because he couldn't have afforded it.
Hey! Low blow. But anyway, we move it on. No, but you know, like what I think, definitely everything you're saying about kind of the pursuit of security, safety, acceptance, you know, loneliness is a real thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, people who have a desire to be with someone, you know, I'm sure in order not to feel lonely must be driving. I certainly remember when I was single and not in them by myself, horrible being lonely, definitely. Yeah.
But I think that now that we are in church pursuing God, our experience of singleness would be completely different. We didn't go about it in the right way. Nope. So we weren't we didn't have a group of Christian friends, Christian brothers, Christian sisters to come alongside us and have you know that fellowship with one another. And I see it in church, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love seeing sisterhood. Yeah. I love
like
seeing
genuine sisterhood.
It is such a beautiful thing. Yeah, well, and I think that it's just, it's just so, so needed, because the world that we live in and the world around us will constantly tell us that what we don't have, we need.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, it's wild. It is so wild. So yeah, I mean, for me, you know, relationship idols is a big thing.
Yeah.
But you've been plugging into scripture, haven't you?
Yes. I have. So when we were discussing the different kind of conversation topics and about to start recording this particular episode, Relationship Idols, it just really reminded me of Solomon. And so I just kind of like had a quick like look of Solomon's history. And if you think that Solomon was the first child born to King David and Bathsheba after they lost the child that was born out of their affair.
Yes.
And so it says in 2 Samuel 24 and 25, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba and went into her and lay with her, and she bore a son, and they called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him and sent a message by Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Mm. And so when you think, like, you know, it's not everyone in the Bible that it says, and the Lord loved him. Yeah, like, that is so significant. And then fast forward to when Solomon is, I think he's been made king, and then he has a dream, and God basically like says to him, you know, ask me for anything. And the thing that Solomon asks for is for wisdom. And then God says, behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you.
Mm.
You know, so Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And through that wisdom, you know, his acquisition of wealth and, you know, just status, and, you know, people traveled across the world to just sit in his presence and just listen to him. I mean, just so wise. Mm. And yeah, I mean, what an incredible person. But then you fast forward towards the end of his life, and reading from 1 Kings 11, it says, "Now Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh." And then it goes on to say that God had said that, you know, these particular women, that you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. But then it says Solomon clung to these in love. And then it says that and his wives turned away his heart, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord. And then it goes on to say that so Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, right, because he did not wholly follow God. Yeah. And so I was just like, wow. So the wisest person, the wisest that guy has ever lived, still put relationships above God.
Crazy.
You know,
all in the space of 2 Samuel 12, yeah, to 1 Kings
10. Yeah.
That is wild.
And there's no wasted story or wasted word in the Bible. Mm. This is the living word. So if you fast forward that to today, what that tells me is even with the most wisdom in the world, there's potential for relationships. Yeah. To become idols and to take the place of God and to take you away from God. So I guess it's just, I have nothing really to add than that.
Straight from the living word, kaboom.
It's kind of like self-explanatory, yeah, really. And yeah, I've seen it in my own life. Mm. I mean, I have not even, you know, I wouldn't profess to even be slightly as wise as Solomon, but I definitely have seen the potential in my life for relationships to take me away from God. And it's only by his grace that I got to the point where I was like, do you know what? I actually want to put God first. Mm. And I want to bring, if I have children, I want to bring them up knowing God. Mm. So how can I be chasing these relationships that A, aren't actually healthy, they're toxic, and B, the end game, what I want it to result into, which is marriage and someone to be a father to my children, they're just, it just isn't gonna run. So, you know, by God's grace, I turned away and repented from the life I was living, to then turn to him, and then that's when I met Pitt. But it's just such a thin line. And yeah, I think what we said before about just being brutally honest, yeah, for me, that is the only way to, if it has become an idol, to then realise that it has, and to turn away and to turn back to God. I mean, what are you guys thinking? Yeah, like, yeah, do you think relationships can become idols? Do you think that we're almost encouraged with the media, social media, culture, to idolise relationships? I mean, you know, magazines are just full of relationships that are put on these pedestals. It's like, we don't even have to put them on pedestals. Yeah. They're already put on pedestals for us.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. But yeah, as we wrap up this week's episode, you know, just to reiterate, we really want to hear from you guys, you know. Be real with yourself, and have you kind of ventured down the road of idolatry when it comes to that Eric Killmonger at the bar? Shout out Eric Killmonger. But yeah, we want to hear from you.
So follow us at The Love Podcast on Instagram.
Do it.